Father, I just want to bring the word before you, Lord. Lord God, only in your strength, Lord. It's only by your grace is sufficient for us, Lord. In our weakness, you are being made strong, Lord. And Father, we just come and surrender, and I surrender my heart completely to you, Lord. And we pray, Lord God, for your Spirit to be present, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that is here. We thank you, Lord, for family. We thank you, Lord, for your love, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for lives that's being changed, Lord. And we give you all the honor and glory, Lord. And we declare that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. My sermon was inspired by something I saw on Facebook. But it was Peter Hammond had this picture that wise men still seek Jesus. And it is Matthew 2 verse 1 to 12. And I just read the scripture and I really thought this is so amazing that the wise men sacrificed so much to serve and to search Jesus until they found him. And when they found him, they were filled with great joy. And they saw a sign and they followed the sign. And I've heard that these wise men were probably trained by Daniel, when he was still in Persia, saying that the Messiah will come, because there was a prophecy given to Daniel, which probably to the year prophesied that Jesus would be born probably 33 after, that he would be crucified 33 after Christ. So these people knew, because they were instructed and trained by Daniel, of the Messiah that would come. And when they saw the star, they knew the time was there, because they understood the prophecy that he gave. But they saw the star and they followed the star. And then they came to Herod, the king, and they asked him about the Messiah. And what stood out to me about that was that they saw the star. And I think many times for us, it should encourage us that if people see the star or the light in us, it will motivate them to search for Jesus. So let the light shine in us. But then when they came to Herod and they said to Herod, Herod, we heard the Messiah was born, the king was born. Herod got upset and he was very angry in all of Jerusalem. And this is what will happen. The world will always get upset when they hear about Jesus, because they will get thrown, their comfort zones, their agendas will be challenged, and they will get upset about that. Then Herod himself went to go and ask the wise men or the learned men, and they said there's this prophecy that the Messiah would come. And even though he heard the truth, he couldn't accept it. And you will find that in the world, that many people will hear the truth, but they can't accept the truth of who Jesus is, and they will reject him. And then Herod secretly said, bring that boy to me that I can worship him. But he wanted to kill Jesus. And I think this is in our walk that I see from that as well, is that in our walk, many people will come off the world that will try to destroy our search for Jesus, our seeking for Jesus. They want to destroy our faith, and that we must be aware that people in this world, even leaders in the world, will come to destroy that is from God, that is holy before God. But then the wise men, after listening to them, they went their separate way and they continued searching for Jesus. And just what I saw from that is that we mustn't get thrown into arguments and fight and try to argue with people if they challenge our faith or if they challenge Jesus. We just continue on our walk. We continue seeking who Jesus is. Then they saw the star and they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And this is, I just want to add to Jaco's last sermon of last year, the joy of the Lord is our strength. When you come into the presence of Christ, there's great joy. People rejoice. So we as Christians, if you struggle with joy, come into his presence. Seek Jesus in his presence. There's great, great joy. And then when they came to him, they fell down, they worshipped, they opened treasures, they gave him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. In God's presence, we cannot help ourselves to bring gifts. And I want to ask you this morning, what is the gift that you have to bring, that you can bring to God? What, what has God given you as a gift that you can bring? And then after that, the wise men had a dream warning them not to go back to Herod. And I just believe in the presence of God, God will speak to us and He will warn us. And this is so important, to continue seeking God, seeking His ways, seeking to come into His presence, because there's protection in that place. He will warn us. And as these wise men actually became more wise. And Andres' sermon that was really amazing to me as well. He spoke about a gift. And he said Jesus was the gift of the Father that He was given to us, His children. And we can accept the gift. But many times we accept the gift and it's still closed. And we leave it in the wrapping paper and it's like that. But some people actually go and they open the gift and they see the box and they can see it's a liquidizer, for example. And this is the thing that he loves the most. And you can look at that thing in the box and say, wow, that's an amazing gift, and put it on the shelf. Or you can take this box and you can open it and take the liquidizer out, the gift out, and you can look at that and say, wow, that is amazing, but never use it. But the fact is, if you reject the gift, you reject the giver. If you open this thing up, you assemble it, you read the instructions, and you start using it, you bring glory to the giver. Because when the giver comes into your house and he sees you are using his gift, he thinks, wow, I really know my friend or my cousin or my child. He is using my gift. I bring joy to him. And that was really the thing that we must understand, that what Jesus did on the cross for us was a gift, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But we can accept the gift and put it on the shelf. There's something about growing in Christ. It's using the gift. And this is where, when I looked at the wise men and seeking God, and I was just praying through this, and I really realized that wisdom is so important, that wisdom is something that we all need. And you probably know the story, but the big question, if you can ask anything, what would it be? What would you ask for if someone comes to you and says, whatever you want, that I will give to you? I don't know if you heard the joke of the genie in a bottle, and it comes out, and this man lives in Los Angeles, and he says, the genie says to him, I'll give you anything that you want. And he says, you know, I've got all the riches, I've got money, I'm married, there's one thing. I've never been to Hawaii. If you can build me a bridge from Los Angeles to Hawaii, I can drive there because I get seasick on boats and I'm afraid of flying. The genie said, anything else but that. So the man said, if I can understand how a woman's mind works, then the genie says, that bridge, do you want two lanes on each side or three lanes on that side? Or the story about the genie that they discovered this bottle, the three men on the island, they've washed out, and the genie says, I'll give you each one a wish. The first guy says, you know, I'll give anything to be back with my friends. Oops. And the next moment he's back with his family. The second guy says, I'll give anything to be in a pub with my friends having a beer. Oops. The next moment he's with his friends in the pub. And the third guy goes, man, I'm so lonely now. I wish my two friends were back here. Oops, they're back there. So what is the thing that you would ask, what you would ask if a genie or God comes to you and asks you? Would it be possessions or wealth or honor? I don't know if you've had those secret dreams about the lotto. If only I could win 1 billion rand, I will tithe 10%. I don't know if anyone has done that. Or I can just pay off my bond. I had it once before I started your shofar, that my whole bond was covered. It was amazing for a few months. What would you ask God for? Solomon, you probably know where this is leading to, but in 2 Chronicles, God appears to Solomon after he became king, and he said, ask what I shall give to you. And Solomon said, you've shown great honor and love to my father. All I ask for is wisdom and knowledge that I can lead your people. And God said to Solomon, because you've asked in this was your heart, to ask not for possessions or wealth or honor, but you've asked for wisdom and knowledge, I will give you that, but I'll also give you riches, possessions, and honor for your life. And I really believe this is something that we as Christians must ask God for wisdom, to grow in wisdom. This is where the edge of a Christian is, in having the wisdom of God. And if you don't have wisdom, how do you get it? You simply ask God. James 1 says, if you lack wisdom, ask God, He gives generously. Ephesians 1 verse 17 says that the God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. But knowledge of wisdom also comes by spending time and seeking God and seeking God's Word, by spending time in the Word of God. Proverbs 2 says, "My son, if you've received my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and will find knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding." While we were praying, the topic of the fear of God came out quite a lot as well. That there's a place that we must have reverence, we must fear of God. We must not fear men, but we must fear God. But this comes from spending time in the Word. As our knowledge increases, God will increase the fear of Him as well. It also comes by doing God's Word. When we do the Word of God, there's wisdom in that. We grow in wisdom when we apply ourselves to do the Word of God and not only to hear it. Deuteronomy 4, verse 5 says, I have taught you," this was Moses speaking to these people, "I have taught you the statutes and rules as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do them in the land that you are entering and taking possession of it. Keep them and do them. Keep the words and the instructions and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of people, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, 'Surely this great nation is wise and an understanding people.'" So when we do the Word of God, when we follow the instructions of God, people will know that we are wise. We will grow in our wisdom and our understanding. I saw a DVD of Bill Johnson where he spoke about knowing God and just the prophetic. And he said that we must become like art specialists, but the artist that we are a specialist on is Jesus Christ. And the more we study His artwork, the more we will be able to gauge if something is from God or not. So if I understand this and someone comes to me with a prophecy, I can say, I know the artist. Is this his work or not? Do you understand what I'm saying? So sometimes someone will come to you and say, "If you pay me 100 rand, I will pray for you." You can know this is not from God, because Jesus said, "Freely you give, freely you will receive. Freely you receive, freely you will give." That we understand the Word of God, that we can judge whether a preacher is from God or not. We will understand if we know the art, if we understand the art, we will know the artist, we will know if that is a fake or if it is from God. When God appears to Solomon, Solomon was instructed to build this huge temple for God. After the temple was completed, Solomon, all the people came, all the worship leaders, there was great worship and sacrifice, and Solomon prayed, and fire came from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices. He experienced the power of God like no other man up to that point has ever experienced, except Moses experienced the power of God. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priest couldn't enter the temple because of the glory of God that was on the temple. This was the experience that Solomon, this wise man, had of God. And then God comes and He speaks to Solomon and He says to him this very famous scripture, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land." Now Solomon wasn't in a bad place. He wasn't backslidden when God told him this. He was spirit-filled, full of the glory of God. It was going well with his country, with his kingdom. But God spoke these words to him: "Humble yourself, pray, seek my face." Then God continues and He says to him, "If you walk before me, doing according to all that I've commanded you and keeping my statutes and my rules, then I will establish your royal throne. But if you turn aside and forsake my statutes and my commandments that I've set up before you and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will pluck you from my land that I have given you, and this house I will cast out of my sight. So God is giving him a warning. If you follow my rules, I will bless you. If you don't, you will be removed. Now, Solomon was great. He was the greatest king of the time, but he married many women. He liked foreign women, which God instructed him not to marry. And these were women from Mesopotamia and from Egypt, but they introduced him to all these different gods. And the one god was Molech. I don't know if you've heard about him, but to Molech they would worship children. And Solomon forsaked the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he started following these other gods. And the Bible says Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord. So this man with the great wisdom that was given fell to a place where he did great evil in the sight of God. Now, in Ecclesiastes 1, he says, and I'm going to just read a lot of scripture, but this is just to illustrate my point that it's not me speaking, but really the word of God. He says in verse 12, Solomon speaks this, and he says, I, the preacher, I have been king over Israel in Jerusalem. I have applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and the striving of the wind. I said in my heart, I have acquired great wisdom, and my heart has great experience of wisdom and knowledge. I have applied my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I have perceived that this also is but the striving of the wind, for in much wisdom is much displeasure, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. So the two starting to contradict one another, and I believe Paul in 1 Corinthians 1 is giving us the answer from verse 17. He said, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, to preach the good word, not with words of eloquent wisdom. So there's many people that comes with eloquent wisdom, and they quote all these different people. But the Bible says, and he says, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of his power. That the cross, the word, the gospel, this is where the power of God, where the power of God is. For it says, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will squash, I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. The Jews demand a sign and the Greeks seek wisdom. And I've been guilty of both. You want to see the power of God. You want to see the signs. You want to see the people being healed in front. And it's not wrong. But also on the other side, you want the wisdom. You want to know more knowledge. And you can get stuck either on wisdom or on the power. But the Bible says, continues saying, but we preach Christ crucified. And that is a stumbling block to the Jews, and it's folly. It means nothing to the Gentiles. But those who are called, all of us, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers, not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards, not many of you were powerful, not many of you of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. He chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. So I really believe that God wants us to come to that place where we don't boast in what we've achieved, the riches that we have, how strong we are, or how wise we are, but we boast because of the presence of God. And because in Him, you are Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. As it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. I believe this was where Solomon went wrong. All these kings came to sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom that God had put in his mind. I believe he became proud because of that. And because God instructed him, if you will humble yourself, he became proud and he stopped seeking God. He stopped praying to God and he did started doing evil. And I believe this is why this curse came over Solomon. Solomon's kingdom was divided, that God said to him, I'm going to divide your kingdom, but I'll do it in your son's time because I honor your father David so much. Because of the sin that came in, his kingdom was divided. It was actually taken away from him. Jeremiah 9 verse 23 says, thus says the Lord, and this is very important, Jeremiah 9 verse 23, the Lord says, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, or the strong man boast in his strength, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. So this morning, if you are very wise, I want you to encourage you to go and lay your wisdom down at the cross. Say, Lord, I surrender my wisdom to you. If you are very strong and you can beat up any guy that there is, you go and take your strength and you can lay it down at the cross and say, Lord, I'll never go that route again. If you're very rich, I want to encourage you to take your wealth and just lay it down at the cross. Say, Lord, this belongs to you. I surrender it to you. It is for you. Because God's heart is that we understand him and that we know him and that we seek him in all our ways. Because God is love, justice, and righteousness. And without God, nothing will fall in place for you. Anything can change, just like this. Garth had a terrible December holiday. He had pancreas, a disease in his pancreas, pancreatitis or titus or something like that. And he can bench press, he could bench press 200 kilograms, 160, something like that, massive. He can't exercise. Anything can happen to us. I'm not saying he was wrong, God. I'm not saying that, but his heart is always to serve God. But all these things means nothing to us because in a moment, it all can be taken away from us. God wants relationship with him. He wants us not to seek the wisdom, but he wants us to seek the Spirit of God that brings wisdom. Isaiah 11 says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon you, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of God. Our wisdom is not in seeking books and reading books and listening to people. Our wisdom is in seeking relationship with God, in spending time with God, in growing in the Holy Spirit, allowing the Spirit of God to grow you. You know, when a pastor rebels and gets upset and wants to break out, do you know what they do? Well, we don't go to the bars anymore because we can't afford to. We go up the mountain. And I freaked my wife out a little bit, 10 o'clock at night. I just got so upset, I walked up Howlerberg Mountain from my house. And I went up there, and the wind was blowing me away, and I just prayed. But all the way up, I was praying in the Spirit, say, God, help. Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit, I need you. And when I came up there, something funny happened. But I got a boldness in me. And as I walked down, I went up the mountain, God changed me, and I came back. And I really believe sometimes we must just come to a place where we just say, I've had enough. And go up the mountain. Go and reconnect with God. Go and seek God. Seek God. When you get that present, open the present. God has He's paid his life for this present. He's given everything. He's died so that we can have this present of life, of eternal life. But what we need to do is we need to open it. Psalm 105 says, glory in his name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. This is my heart's desire that all of us this year will seek God, seek His presence continually. Not seek wisdom, not seek the power of God, not seeking the miracles, but seeking God's presence. Matthew 7, verse 7 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened to you." And then Scripture continues quantifying this to us and saying, if our children comes to us and they ask you for bread, will you give him a stone? Or fish? Will you give him a serpent? We who are evil that know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more wouldn't God the Father give to us if we ask him? And then he says in verse 13, "Enter the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and it's easy that leads to destruction." And I just want to say today that it's not easy walking the walk of a Christian, of a spiritual Christian. Daniel lost his tooth. I'm so proud of him. But the first thing is the tanemes, the tooth fairy. It's like, no, there's no tooth fairy. It's mommy giving him 30 rand because the tooth fairy is a lie, and I'm not going to tell my child a lie. And then one day when he's 8, 14 or 15 years old, he says, "Dad, but you lied to me about the tooth fairy. You probably lied to me about Jesus as well." I will never tell him a lie. I will just tell him the truth, because Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. I can't tell him lies about the tooth fairy, but I'm still very proud of my little boy that lost his tooth. Then someone said to me, "But how would you explain it to people?" I don't care how to explain it to people. I just want to stand on the truth of what God is, because those who enter the long way of destruction are many. The gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Don't look at what others are doing. Look at the Word. Don't say to me, "Ja, maar Piet doen dit. Hoekom kan ek dit nie doen nie?" That road leads to destruction. The road is wide that everyone follows, but the road is narrow that God wants us to follow, that God wants us to do. Then it continues and it warns us of the false prophets, like Herod was a false prophet to the wise men. And he said, "Beware of the false prophets. They come in sheep clothing. They're ravenous wolves, but you will recognize them by their fruit. A good tree will have good fruit. A bad tree will have bad fruit." Not everyone. You will recognize them by their fruit. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So the only those ones who do the will of God will enter the kingdom of heaven. I really want to encourage us, and I really believe God is saying to me that I must walk the walk and talk the talk. You can talk a good game, but not everyone can play a good game. And I really believe God is calling us to play a good game, to walk according to what God has done. Because you can either serve either God or yourself or an idol or money. I'm reading a book of Rebecca Brown, but I was quite blessed by her after all these years. But she said something: the root of all sin is self-centeredness. The root of all sin is self-centeredness. And she herself was very focused on herself. She had an inferiority complex. And God spoke to her about that, because she was focusing so much on herself and her issues and her weaknesses that she wasn't focused on who God is and what God wanted to do through her life. And something that a friend of mine said to me some time in this holiday, this thing about best friends is from the pit of hell. And I want to quantify it. Sometimes we are so heavy to have a best friend, and I have two or three best friends, but I include 20 other people. And if you're not in the in crowd, it's a very, very lonely place for you. And just like December, Christmas is very lonely for many people. Many people become so depressed because there's nobody there caring for them, reaching out to them, because we have this best friend mentality. It's only the three of us, and when we're together, we rule the world. It's fine if you have a preference in your heart, but don't tell everyone. Be open to include all people. This is Jesus' heart. That we don't do the things that we want to do, but we do the things that God is saying to us. I've been led, now I'm not sure if it's by the Spirit of God or my flesh, but to investigate a lot about Satanism and stuff like this. But the one thing that I realized, there's a guy called Aleister Crowley. He was born in 1875 and he died in 1947. This man's parents were spirit-filled believers, Quakers. I don't know if you've heard of it. And then they joined a sect. But he got so upset with Christianity that he got involved in the occult. He used drugs, opium. He was a bisexual. He was a pedophile. Some people call him the most evil man on earth. Many people described him as the number of the beast. His nickname was the beast. This guy was quite evil, but he wrote many books. He would speak to spirits and they would download, and like this one book he wrote in 3 hours that the spirit downloaded to him and he just wrote this down. But the one thing that he's very famous for is this line, "Thou shalt do what thou wilt. Do what thou wilt, so do what you want, and that shall be the whole of the law." That was his thing. He influenced many, many modern artists like Anton LaVey. I don't know if you know who he is, but he wrote the Bible of Satan. He was influenced by this man, Ozzy Osbourne. I don't know if you probably know him, the guy who bit off a bat's head on a stage. But he wrote a song and he sang a song, Mr. Crowley. It's actually a very good song. If you've ever, the tune is great. The words is terrible. It's very occultic. It's demonic. The Beatles were very influenced by him, Lennon and McCarthy. Sergeant Pepper was dedicated to this man. His face is even on that album as well. Sergeant Pepper is Mr. Crowley or Aleister Crowley. Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin got every involved in, he bought his house, he bought everything that he could of this man, and he said that Aleister Crowley, after he was dead, came to speak to him in many, many things. Michael Jackson used his words, David Bowie, Iron Maiden, Alpha Vol, even Tolkien was influenced by him. Ian Fleming, that wrote James Bond, knew him. He used him as characters in his movies. The first movie, he used Aleister Crowley. Ian Fleming himself was a spy in the Second World War, and he wanted to use Aleister Crowley to understand the occult because of the Nazi people that was involved in Satanism. So, but the government said, no, that you are going too far. So this man had huge influence, but the one thing that he's saying that you will still hear, whenever there's an award and an actor takes that thing, they will say, just follow your heart. Follow your heart. Or they will say, follow your dreams. Have you heard this? Many of the songs will say, do what you want. The rock, hardcore rock songs will all go and say, do what you want. And this is what the devil wants all of us to do. He wants us to do what we want. He doesn't want you to go and kill anyone. He just wants you to do what you want. If you do that, then some people will kill everyone. But God says, I want you to follow my instructions. Do you see the difference? We come to a place where we either serve God or you serve yourself. And Satan wants us to serve ourselves, because if we serve ourselves, we will not follow God anymore. Matthew 6 verse 24 says, you cannot serve two masters. It's either light or darkness. He will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will put on, the clothing that you will wear. Look at the birds. They don't care for tomorrow, but still God look for them. Therefore, don't be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? The Gentiles look after these things, but your heavenly Father knows your needs. But first seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Do not be anxious for tomorrow will be anxious for itself, sufficient for the day of your own trouble. So I just want, do we have communion? Okay. If the ushers can just go and fetch the communion. I just want to finish off by what Richard started with, that God is asking us, where's our treasure? Where is our heart? And I think many of us this holiday fell in the trap of wanting to relax. And you got taken out. I don't know if there's anyone that can agree with this, but you become so relaxed. Louis told me he was at the Holaberg Christian Church, And that's what the pastor preached about as well. He said, we get to December, it's been a tough year, we want to relax. And in that place of relaxing, we open ourselves. We do what we want. We start watching the things we shouldn't have watched. And somehow you just became, and you sinned and you feel terrible. I just want to say to you, Jesus loves you. And he says, whoever comes to me and repent, I will forgive you and I will give you strength. So for me, as we go into this year, last year was a terrible year. It was a tough year. Many of our friends died. Many people got broken. Many people just backslidden completely. But I really believe God is calling us to a higher relationship, to seeking him with all that we have. That we will not boast in our strengths or our riches or our wisdom, but we'll really seek God and seek relationship with God and to be in his presence continually, that we seek to spend time with God and to seek his kingdom in that place, that our heart will be to be united as Christians, that we're all members of the body of Christ, that our hearts will be to follow Christ together, to bring people who are in the darkness into God's marvelous light. That this will be our heart as we follow Christ and we spend time in the Word and spend time in prayer and spend time fellowshipping with friends. That we will not become inward focused. I've got my four best friends and I don't care about the rest. But our hearts will really be to include my best friends but also include the others who are out there on the side. Because that is God's heart. As we seek him, God will open this to you. To tell you, my heart is for all people. I love the world so much that I've given you this gift. But I want you to open this gift because that is my heart. Does everyone have both? Who still doesn't have? Okay. Maybe I can, just as we end, I watched two things that I shouldn't have watched this week, this holiday as well. And Lynette and I fought big time because she said I'm watching off stuff and I had to repent to her afterwards because it was. But afterwards I realized why. The one was Star Wars, and I went to go and read about the man who invented Star Wars. This man hates Christ, and the whole thing about Star Wars is to make people understand about the supernatural. That Spock is a Vulcan, but he's half Vulcan, half human. And in Genesis 6, he talks about the sons of God that loved the women, the daughters of man, and they had intercourse with them. And I really believe it's opening us up to a place where people will have demonic sex. That's basically what they're doing. And even this thing, Avatar, but it comes, the whole thing about shamanism, worshipping the mother God that is a tree. It's opening us up to like really amazing world of the occult. And I think many times the things that we watch influence us so strongly. We don't understand it. But you walk out of a movie and Superman, you want to fly. Or you want to beat someone up. You don't know where it's coming from. Many times we watch horror movies. But those guys inflict curses on the movies to influence us. And you as a Christian go and sit there and you think of nothing. And that's what meditation is. Meditation is you empty your mind. When your mind is empty, the demons can come in. The Word of God says you meditate on the Word of God. You never empty your mind. You focus on the words of God, on Jesus. Then you get filled with God. But the world will always tell you to empty yourself because they want to open you to the demonic so that Satan can take hold of you because he wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life. But Jesus wants to give us life and life in abundance. Now, I really believe for us as Christians, we must make a choice. I don't say don't watch movies because, look, I've got to repent to you. I did it and I enjoyed Avatar. I see you. There's great things in the movie. But be aware that Hollywood is designed. I don't know if you know who Mae West was. I don't know if anyone knows who Mae West was. But she was the Marilyn Monroe of the 1930s, 40s. She was, they called her the sex goddess or something like that. She was the first woman to kiss another woman on screen in 1930 something. It was a big thing then, but it was like a little kiss like this. But it was starting to open people up to radical sexual things that is happening on the screens these days. There's an agenda behind Hollywood to come and to take our minds and to draw our minds to the demonic. And the road is wide that leads to destruction. I'm not saying don't go out and go and dance and those things. Those, it's great. It's great to dance. But focus on God. Spend time in the Word. That's what I'm saying. Spend time in prayer. Make it a habit to wake up or at night just to spend time, even if it's just 10 minutes reading the Word and praying, coming together with friends and pray together and say, God, what is your will for my life? I want to surrender and allow God to speak to you about longer time or whatever the case might be or how you should spend your time. But God wants time with you. He wants relationship. He wants your presence. He doesn't want you to do stuff for Him. He wants time in your presence. Sin gets solved when you spend time with God. When you have a desire to go and sin, it's because you're not spending time in God's presence. You can't stop sinning. It's impossible. Ask me. I've tried so many times on my own. I cannot stop sinning. But when I spend time in God's presence, the desire to sin leaves. And that's what deliverance is. Deliverance is that place where you don't have a desire to sin anymore. Where you don't have a desire to watch porn or to watch occultic movies or to watch horrors. Those are things that hold you in bondage because it wants to destroy your life. And for me, that place that God's heart is steadfast love. His heart is steadfast love, justice, righteousness. Those things God delights in. This is really my heart's desire for all of us, to seek time, to seek the presence of God, not wisdom, not power, but to seek God, to seek presence of God. Let's just close our eyes and pray. Yes, Father, I just want to bring, Lord God, our lives before you, Lord. And Father, today, I really believe that you are asking us, Lord God, for more time with you, Lord. That you're saying, I don't want you to follow rules, but I want you to follow me. The way and the truth is through me. That I am life, and I come to give you life and life in abundance. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you will come and deliver us, Lord, your people from bondage, Lord, from Egypt. That we can walk true to you, Lord. That it will not be an effort or a sacrifice, Lord, but it will be freedom, Lord. It will be liberty, Lord, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That we can rejoice and have joy and have love and peace in our walk because the Spirit of God is on us. Lord, that we will manifest the fruit of the Spirit because you are with us, because we're spending time with you, Lord. We're spending time in your presence, Lord. Yes, Father, we're not saying we don't want to judge anyone, Lord. But Lord, we understand your word that those things of the world leads to destruction. And if someone is still in it, Lord, that we will pray continually for our brothers and sisters, Lord, until they get free and they can come into the place where you have called us to be. Father, this morning, the first sermon, I just pray, Lord God, for our hearts, Lord. And we just come and give our hearts to you again this morning, Lord. And we just want to covenant with you, Lord, in our own strength. We cannot follow you as we should. We need you, Lord. We there's nothing that we really can do by ourselves. We cannot even stop sinning, Lord. We need you to do that, Lord. So we just come and surrender our lives to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, I just want to declare that we're all part of the body of Christ. That we are all members of your body, Lord. That you are the head, Jesus Christ. And that you've paid the price on the cross for us, Lord. That we can have life and life in abundance. Let's eat. Yes, Father, we thank you, Lord, that in Psalm 103 you say, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord with all your soul. And let not forget his benefits. Who delivers us from all our iniquities and heals us from all our diseases. Lord, thank you that you're saying that you will come. cover us, Lord, by the angel's feathers, Lord, that you protect us, Lord, that in you there's protection, Lord, because of the cross of Calvary, Lord, that we can know that on the cross, Lord, you paid the price, the price for your sacrifice was your blood, Lord, and that we can know that when we take communion, Lord, that you've paid the price, Lord, for all sin, for all disease, for all sickness, Lord, for all iniquities, Lord, for all abominations before you, Lord, that in that place, Lord God, we are stronger in your authority, Lord. We are stronger than anything that the devil can come against us with, Lord. That there's no power, there's nothing in earth, there's nothing in the sea, there's nothing in heaven, Lord God, that can separate us from the love that you have for us, Lord. That we can know that you who are with us are stronger than he that is in the world. Lord, that every evil force have to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ because you've paid the price on the cross. Father, I pray for boldness, for courage, for strength, for authority in you, Jesus, because of the cross, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, that we will not have unbelief, but we will have great faith, Lord, in who you are. That we will not say to one another, but look, that one is doing this and this one is doing that. But we will hear your voice. What must I do? Lord, what do you want me to do? What is your heart for me, Lord? And if there's any sin in your heart, that you can bring it to the cross and say, Lord, I repent of my sin and know that God has forgiven you. If there's anyone that you have to forgive, that you bring it before God and say, Lord, I forgive that person. I forgive him. Even if you want have to forgive God, that you say, Lord, I understand that you didn't do this, but I feel that it has been you, and I forgive you, Lord. That we can not judge people, but we can follow you, Jesus. But we know it's in your presence, because you've paid the price on the cross. And that the good news is that you're not on the cross anymore, Lord. You've been risen after 3 days and you're sitting on the right hand of God the Father. And you're coming back on a white horse for the final judgment, Lord. And we're eagerly awaiting the return of God. Lord Jesus, we're waiting for you, Lord. We're in eager expectation that you will come soon. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we pray, Lord, in this last days that we are in, Lord, that you will keep us from evil, Lord, that you will protect us, Lord, that you will bless us, that you will enlarge us, our tent pegs, Lord, but Father, that we will reach out with much love and compassion to the people in darkness, Lord, because your heart is for everyone. Let's drink. I don't want to make a big altar call, but I want to extend an invitation as we just close our eyes. I'm not going to ask you to raise up your hand. I'm just going to ask anyone. The word says Jesus gave them authority to go and preach the word and to heal the sick. If there's anyone with any sickness, the word says if you are sick, go to the elders that they may pray for you, that they lay hands on you and you will be healed. For the prayer of the righteous avails much. If there's any sickness in your body, anything that you know that you need to get out of you maybe, I just want to encourage you to come forward that we can pray with you. If there's anyone that wants to rededicate their life to Christ, or just want to say with someone, I've sinned terribly, and I just want to respond to that and say, just come forward, say, Lord, I feel terrible. I feel shy and embarrassed. But God says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. God's heart is for you to seek him. And if you do it now, and if you wait a year or 2 years or 3 years, eventually you will have to do it. You will have to face the music. Do it now so that you can live in abundance. If there's anyone who do not know Jesus at all, but you want to surrender your heart to him and say, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to seek you with all that I have. I want to encourage you to come forward just come and kneel and say, God, I want to surrender my life to you. And then lastly, if there's anyone with fear for the future, that you are afraid of what the future might hold in for you, and you are afraid, maybe it's your business, maybe it's your future, maybe you're afraid of something tangible, God is bigger than all of that. He's the creator of the heavens and earth. He created the heavens. He created the stars and he gave them all a name. God is awesome in this place. If there's anyone with any prayer request, don't be shy, but come forward that we can pray with you, because the prayer of the righteous avails much. For the rest of you, may God bless you. We're looking forward to a great year in the presence of God. I want to encourage you to come and pray, because God is bringing revival. Come and pray with us. Come and seek God's presence. And may the Lord bless you this year. May He keep you. May His countenance be upon you. And may He keep you from bad things happening in your life and your family's life. May God bless you.